at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right. Good morning, St. Louis, and welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show. It's me, Rich Orris, your host, and I'm here to help everyone kind of tackle all your home maintenance and remodeling dilemmas. Whether you're facing just a leaky wall with driving rain, planning a kitchen renovation, or simply looking to spruce up a living space in your home, we've got the answers for you right here today. We can help you out. We're going to dive deep into all of your burning questions, so pick up the phone and dial, like he said, 314-436-7900, or from far away, you can do 1-800-925-1120. Dial either of those, join right into this conversation. From plumbing to painting, leaks to lighting, no topics are off limit. Let's roll up our sleeves and really make your home improvements, dreams, a huge reality for you right now. We've got the next 2 hours. So today, again, on KMOX, no cards till a little bit later in the evening. So we've got two straight hours for you right here. Again, you can find me at 314-436-7900. Let's make your home the best it can possibly be right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. And speaking of that, we already got Wayne jumped in on the phone lines here. Let's get straight there and see what's going on. Hey, Wayne, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for calling. What's happening?
Well, I have a newer home that's built on a, you know, on the side of a hill, like most houses are in Jefferson County.
Uh-huh.
And the one wall is exposed to the outside. And during these cold snaps that we've had the past 2 years, I've had frost on those walls. And what I did this past winter was I put up styrofoam, glued it on, sealed everything up, and that's helped. My question is, what's the best way to cover that? I'm not necessarily wanting to put a drywall wall, but if that's all, my only only option.
Sure. So in the wall you're talking about, are you down in the basement, correct?
Yes, I'm sorry. It's in the basement, yes.
And is it a concrete wall or is it a framed wall?
Concrete.
Okay, it's a concrete wall, and so you were getting some frost on the actual concrete.
Yeah, I put a dehumidifier down there and a heater, and you know, it's a newer home, so right now I've only got one heat register for the whole, you know, 1,600 square feet of basement.
Sure. Yeah. So so you're definitely on the right path as far as dehumidifying. Trying to keep the level of humidity down to a good acceptable range. And the next step I would say is, one, actually monitor the humidity level down there. So do you have like a digital hygrometer down there that's separate from the actual dehumidifier?
No, I don't.
So that's something I would definitely
recommend.
Oh, wait
a minute. Yes, I do. It's okay. It's on a thermometer / humidity.
Okay. Yeah. Same. Yeah. So if you can monitor that to kind of watch the different times and when the humidity level gets high, then that'll help you understand when to run that dehumidifier and how hard to try and keep that humidity down. You want to keep that down there and 40 something. You want definitely well below 50. If you could be like between 40 and 45 at the highest, that would be ideal. High 30s, 38, or something like that's not bad, especially for a basement. So keeping that down's a good thing to do, and monitor that, which you're trying and you're doing. So just keep up with that. The foam is a good idea to try and help separate that temperature difference from inside to outside.
I did two inches is what I've got. Now I need to cover that foam with a wall of some sort, and I wasn't sure if there was something other than drywall that I could cover that with, because I've done drywall basements before. That's that's hard.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. And another thing I would look into is sealing concrete. If you do like a spray-on silicone type sealant to try and keep moisture out of the concrete, that'll help a little bit. Even the floor, the walls, anywhere like that, to keep the moisture out of that concrete, that'll have a certain amount of quality and helpfulness in what's going on to keep that separate. And then basically what you're talking about, have the foam, have the temperature difference separated. Another thing I would look at really good is, because with air infiltration comes all sorts of humidity and moisture and different things with it. So at the top of the wall where the floor is, I would consider going to a sprayed on insulation, foam insulation, that will block air infiltration at the same time. So you stop the cold air during that winter from getting inside and hitting the temperature difference and helping cause that condensation and then the frosting because of the temperature of the concrete. So that's another step I would kind of look into and recommend. If you've got just the fiberglass bats up there now, I would look into a company coming, or you can buy these tanks at the big box stores that spray. Spray that with a foam and get that down onto the concrete and up to the underside of your plywood on the floor, and that'll give you a good insulation value, but it'll also block more air from infiltrating in. So that's kind of the last step of what do you do to try and control the conditions that's happening. But then on top of that foam, I mean, you can really do anything that you want just to try and help give another layer. Some kind of moisture resistant drywall would be the best thing. But any type of, if you wanted to do like a treated plywood that helps with moisture and rot and things like that, and maybe just attach that and paint the plywood, or something simple where I get the whole taping and mudding and smoothing, and with the drywall, you also need some kind of framing to really attach it too well.
Right.
So I would say, you know, some kind of plywood would work. Like a white kind of, they make a sheet, kind of like a PVC coated sheet that you could use that comes white. You'll find that at the big box store also. And with it, they have little like H channels that go between the sheets that you'll kind of lock one into the next, that you could probably kind of glue right to that foam also, just to kind of dress it up. And then maybe you don't have to paint it. So kind of like it's a real thin, they're about an eighth inch thick. They're kind of flimsy, but when you glue them on and you're on that 2-inch foam, that'll work pretty well, and that'll keep you from painting, and that'll secure pretty easily. Just got to make sure you get an adhesive that doesn't work its way through the foam. Same type of adhesive you used on the wall that doesn't eat up the foam, you'll want to use for that sheet. So I would cover it with something like that, and that should dress it up pretty good for you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Well, hopefully that was helpful and gives you some other things to think about with changing and keeping that difference out there between the conditions that are happening. That it says, I've seen that. It's pretty common. I've seen a lot in the walkout basements and higher foundations out of the ground on the hills and things like that. So you are on the right track, Wayne. And for Donna and Josh, if you guys can hold the line here just for a couple minutes, we're going to take our first break. And for everybody else, we got a lot of time, 2 full hours a day, 314-436-7900 finds me. And we'll get to Donna and Josh as soon as we return.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, guys, here we go. We've got a lot going on today. A lot of great calls coming in so far. Remember, you can find me right here. We've got a lot of time for you today. No cards jumping in. So 314-436-7900 will get you right to me. And let's go straight to Donna on the line, has a question for us. Donna, thanks for holding on through the break. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. We want to replace the flooring boards on a boat dock.
Uh-huh.
And we want to use composite boards so that we don't have the same maintenance. And I wondered if you would have any advice about that, and especially about what kind of composite boards, because I guess it's maybe would be considered a marine board. I'm not sure.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yeah. No, you're exactly on the right track for composite. They do, in the composite material deck boards, there are ones that are made and labeled marine grade that will work. And with composite, that's exactly what you got to look out for in that instance, because a lot of composite decking materials require air underneath them. They want it to be so far off the ground and away from ground contact, and they want it to kind of breathe, or they can kind of warp and have issues if they're too close to the ground and they don't get enough air movement and temperature and all that stuff. So the marine grade would definitely work. And there's also PVCs and plastic marine grade decking that's meant for boat docks out there. So I would like kind of the plastic or the PVC, because it's just what they make plumbing pipes out of. Water runs through it. It's meant to be around water. So that would probably be my favorite, would be an actual PVC plastic board for a boat dock. Oh, I think it would last really, really well.
And do you buy those from big box places, or are there any certain vendors that would have good quality to purchase?
Yeah, so you're probably not going to find at a big box store for the marine grade or for the boat docks.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're definitely going to be looking for someone that supplies more things or can get more, like outdoor living, a deck store that sells a lot of different and specializes in that type of decking products and all of that, because sometimes they still probably won't have them, but they'll have access to the manufacturers that you can do the research and then see what you like, and they can order it in and get what you need for it. Now the plastic and the PVC is going to be more of kind of like a solid board, and it's not going to give you, I don't know that they're going to have a lot of like wood look when it's when it's a solid PVC deck board. They make composite deck boards that are wrapped in a PVC, but they're still composite boards, and they'll look more like wood. So whether you're going to a marine grade composite or that plastic PVC type, will probably, you'll go towards whatever look you like. If you want it to look like wood, you're probably going to be in that composite board, marine grade type of board to make it look more like wood. The plastic PVC, I don't know that they'll have any that will resemble wood per se.
Do Do you think that there's a big difference between the PVC plastic as far as cost compared to the wood look?
So probably not a whole lot when you get into that type of deck board. I would have to imagine it's probably not a great, great difference between those. The PVC is probably generally more expensive, but when you get the composite and you really start making it look like wood, it gets pretty expensive too. So I don't know that
the price difference would
be huge.
And it's going to be a do-it-yourself project. Is there any difference in how either of them, you know, handle if you're an amateur?
Well, yeah, sometimes, and that'll be a good reason when you find a decking supply store like Outdoor Living, you can talk to them about that installation process. Because, yes, a lot of these different deck boards will come with hidden fasteners, hidden clips. Some of them need actually little tools, like to screw the screws in on an angle. So you might need to buy a couple little tools to go with the screws and all that to kind of get them attached properly. And they can kind of help you with what does each one, how does that one attach, and then what do you need in order to get that done? Because, yeah, a lot of them, they all have different ways to attach and different kind of hidden clips and all of that. So some require tools, some just need the drill and the clips and everything. And so making sure you get the right thing to go with it to mount it and enough of it, they can help you with that too.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the advice.
Yeah, no problem. Great question. I appreciate the call for sure. Let's jump in here with Josh and see what Josh has going on. Are you there, Josh?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, thanks for calling. What's up?
So I have a fairly new home, poured concrete, and I'm wanting to finish the basement. So my question is, what do you do with insulation? Do you do faced, unfaced? I've read multiple different things to do in St. Louis.
So basically the main thing to know and understand in St. Louis is, one, to never have a vapor barrier. You don't want to have something that's actually going to hold the moisture behind the wall. And so no plastic, anything like that. So really for breathing well, I would do unfaced. Faced is fine because it will breathe, and a lot of people like it because it helps you staple it up and keep it up there and everything. And another thing in our area that is can definitely be considered is when your basement, any of the concrete that's 100% underground, you don't necessarily have to insulate. Because it's going to be pretty temperature controlled. And if you frame a wall and you leave about a half inch to an inch space behind it, and it's solely underground, where if you're only showing about 6 inches of concrete on the outside from your dirt and you're finishing way down there, then you're also could be fine just doing that, the top band board where the floors are and everything. I would definitely, when you finish a basement, recommend what I was just talking about with Wayne to keep air infiltration and all of that out, is do a spray foam insulation around the perimeter of that basement. So when you do put a ceiling in, whether it's a drop ceiling or drywall, or you block off that ceiling, if you get a lot of air infiltration, it's now stuck up with the floor joist in between drywall and the subfloor, and it can make upper floors a little uncomfortable. It can cause just condensation and mold and things like that to kind of possibly occur if you're getting a whole lot of infiltration, because moisture, humidity, all that will come with it. So definitely consider doing a spray foam around the top of the foundation at that perimeter band board around all four sides. And then your walls, just make sure that they can breathe. So you're fine either way with the faced or the unfaced.
Okay. And the face would be on the drywall side. And then so my basement's not fully buried in, about one wall is exposed. and then half of another corner is exposed.
Okay.
So I could, I guess, just foam that section since that's the main exposed part. And then you were saying the spots that are fully buried in, as you said, you don't really need the insulation unless, except for that exposed part at the top.
Yes, correct. And it, yeah, so it's definitely not a requirement when you're fully underground, because temperature kind of regulates the deeper you get. But yeah, if you're doing a wall where it's like a lot of it's exposed and then you come to a spot where it's not, or if I had a wall that's 8 feet tall in a basement and there's 4 feet of foundation showing on the outside, I would just go ahead and insulate that whole wall floor to ceiling, just because where to stop and making sure you're right, it's just not a big thing.
Right. Would you, if the eventually there'll be a bathroom in that section, or in there, but that bathroom would be in the fully, I guess, enclosed area that's underneath. Would you still use not use insulation, or would you insulate it because it's the bathroom and now you add moisture and a lot higher temperatures at times?
So the bathroom, you wouldn't necessarily have to insulate because it's inside of that basement, but I would consider insulating it for sound.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's where most people go, to just kind of a sound barrier for the bathroom. So it's not going to hurt to insulate that bathroom as long as you build the bathroom correctly and you've got the right backer board for shower walls and tile and that, and there's not any issues going on, insulating that bathroom is going to be a non-issue really for you.
Right. Okay.
All right.
That all makes sense. Yep. Thank you
all
very much.
All right. No problem. Very welcome. Thanks for calling in. Another great question, and a lot of DIY projects, it seems like, out there. So we've got a few more here for everybody. Again, you can get to me, 314-436-7900. We got another hour and a half left for everybody. If Sandy and Stacy can hold the line through a quick break, we will get to you guys as soon as we return right after this.
The Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, everybody, here we go. Again, don't forget, we've got plenty of time, plenty of conversations for you. You can find me at 314-436-7900. Love it. Enjoy it. Let's keep them coming. Let's jump right to Sandy here and see what's going on. Sandy, are you there? Can you hear me?
I'm there. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Sure. I have a very small kitchen that we just recently moved into a new house. And I'm trying to see about moving the basement stair access out of the kitchen to give me more floor space.
Uh-huh.
And I've been told it's doable by someone, but their price was too high. Can you anyway tell me what an average price might be to get that done by a contractor, and where I could get a dependable one that's not going to break the bank?
Yeah, so definitely the cost of that is so reliant on the situation in the house, where they're going. What type of flooring? There's so many things that drive what that cost could be. And then depending on what do you do around the stairs too. So if you move it to like a kind of a living room area and you leave it open and you put railings with metal spindles and stuff, that's going to be more than like a half wall, or closing it off. And putting a door might be a little bit more than a half wall, but less than the open and the railing. And then what does it look like on the way down? So, I mean, it is the investment level needs to be researched and figured out for everywhere that we go. I would definitely say it's probably hard to do something like that for less than maybe $20,000.
Okay.
And I mean, I could see some instances getting quite a bit up there. It could be 40 50, yeah, depending on how much finishing, and if you're doing, if you're dealing with hardwood floors that need to be redone or refinished or new or all of that. So there's definitely a lot of play in there.
So
I don't know if I'm a lot of help on the pricing there, but understanding who people are, what they do, and how they do it, that then the type of company drives some of that investment in the project, and then what is all of those components and pieces that come together definitely drives that investment in that that project. So
sure.
And as far, I mean, really is what I do here with Mosby Building Arts, we do all this kind of work. We design it, we build it, we've got our own carpenters that are employees of the company that perform the all the framing and everything that needs to happen to get through the project. So our employees do majority of the work as far as the stairs and the framing and all of that, the painting, all these different steps. So we're definitely a kind of a different level of service when it comes to that, as far as not bringing in a whole bunch of different contractors to do different pieces. So like a contracting company might be a little less expensive because they just bring in a different subcontractor for every stage, and okay, you're kind of at the mercy of that subcontractor. And some people do the same thing. It's like kind of running and hosting and getting through your own project yourself. Is you find a flooring guy, you find a framing guy, you find a stair company, you find a drywall taper and painter, and you have all these people come in separately and work off of prints that you've had done. And that's kind of the least expensive way to get through it. But in general, these projects are pretty big endeavors. So I don't really have a recommendation on somebody great to do that for you, because that's what we do. And I would recommend Mosby Building Arts every time, because I know,
of course,
I know what we do with our clients. I know how we handle them. I know how we're different. I know how we handle the figuring out and the designing of it and the architectural services in step pieces to kind of help you find out and make decisions on how it's done and where those investment levels go. So we kind of help out with all of that up front when we're doing something like a project like that. But then you start to involve a kitchen remodel, and these projects really, really grow. The kitchens,
yes.
I don't know how much research you've done or if you've had people speaking about kitchens, but that's really the most expensive room in the home to remodel. So you've got a costly move. My stairs needs a lot of different trades and affects a lot of different areas to get done. And now it's like, get my most expensive room and let's remodel that too. It becomes difficult to do.
Okay. Well, so, I think you've helped.
So I wish I had more answers, as far as there's not really a standard. It should be this much per step to move, because every home is different. And so it takes a lot of research to figure that out. And I would say Mosby Building Arts is going to be the best company in St. Louis to perform something like this for you. And other than that, do a lot of research, ask a lot of questions, check with Better Business Bureau, check with everything online, get references, and really try and figure out, do I have someone that you feel comfortable with? So once you get to where you're feeling comfortable, and you've seen a lot of different things, and you've heard them talk, and then you'll start to know whether you think you've got somebody good or not. Because a lot of it's just, how do you feel inside about it?
All right. Well, you're probably right around the bid that I had gotten already. So, and I do trust him. So I appreciate your input.
All right.
I may be giving you guys a call. Thank you.
Absolutely. No problem. I appreciate the call. And yeah, feel free for Sandy and for everybody, really. if you're thinking and looking at something like this, you can have Mosby come out. There's plenty of us that do what I do. I'm also one of the people that comes out and kind of takes a look and has conversations about how to do it, how to go through the professional services, what's it going to take, budgeting exercise, kind of like we just did with Sandy to really get some good information out there. So you can give our office a call for references and to schedule and get us to come out and take a look at projects like this for you. 314-909-1800 is where you can get to our office and find that out. You can go to callmosby.com. You can schedule stuff online. We try and make it really simple for everybody. And so again, we've got plenty of stuff coming up. You can find me 314-436-7900. If Stacy can hold the line here for a really quick short break, we're going to take that and get through that. And then we'll get to Stacy as soon as we return right after this.
Now back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, here we go. Last segment, but we've got a whole nother hour after this. So don't forget to jump in, join the conversation, 314-436-7900. I want to thank Stacy for holding the line through probably a couple breaks. I'm sorry, Stacy. Hey, are you there?
I am here. That's okay.
Awesome. Yeah, no, thanks for sticking around for me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're having a problem with a window well drainage in a condominium.
Uh-huh.
And there's rock or gravel at the bottom of it, and there's a cover on it. And when we've had these giant downpours recently, the water's coming up from the ground, and it's coming up into probably like 2 or 3 inches of the window area and coming into the basement that way. Okay. And we're trying to figure out what the best way to go in fixing that. And we've had some window people there, and everybody says, well, it's not going to hold if the water's standing. And it's not there for that long, but it's there for enough time to cause problems in the basement. And we've dug down into the window well to see if there's a drain. Couldn't find one. Condominium complex, not much help. So I'm not sure. Sump pump, I'm not sure if that's going to help in this situation or what we should be looking at.
Sure, yeah. So definitely trying to move that groundwater when it gets there to another position is basically the goal here. So looking and examining kind of the area, the ground around the best way to do it, if you possibly can, and it would depend on the yard and how much hill and where's downhill and downgrade, but if you can put a drain in there in like a 4-inch PVC pipe, and you can just run that pipe out into the yard somewhere where it will actually run downhill enough that it will disperse to grade and just come out of the other end of the pipe, that would be your best bet and the thing that's going to work the
easiest.
So
that would have to be like underground, you're talking about, a PVC pipe that goes underground?
Yes.
And you're not talking about the black accordion-type pipes, are you?
Correct. No, you do not want the black, flexible, corrugated pipe. Those pipes, when you put them in ground, I mean, they will work and function, but the corrugation in them that keeps them kind of stiff, it slows the water down as it's running through the pipe. And the fittings, if you need to add pipe, the fittings just kind of clip together so the pipes leak. And they move with the ground a lot. So they can kind of get out of shape and create dips and valleys that hold water over time as the ground changes. So any pipe in the ground, when I'm doing it, I'm doing a solid PVC pipe that is meant to be in the ground. And if it if it loses shape, it kind of gets into an oval shape, but it's smooth walled and the water will flow through it very, very well. But in your situation, when you've got a window well and you're deeper, you need a lot of fall in the yard for that pipe to work. So that doesn't always work.
There is a fall in the yard that has one of the corrugated pipes coming out.
Uh-huh.
But I can't tell. And there's other units connected to my unit that have window wells, too. And I know one of my neighbors had the same problem. Is it possible that that is what they're using?
It could be.
I just didn't go far enough down and are digging to find the drain?
You shouldn't need to dig far to find the drain, because typically they want to put that kind of right at the level of the rock that water gets right in it and goes. So a lot of times it's hard to get that fall because you're starting 2 foot deep from the ground level. So really, to make it work, you need about a 3 foot hill to make that pipe run downhill. So your next thing is possibly, yes, a sump pump, where they'll dig way down and they'll put a sump pit and a sump pump in it. You'll need to get electricity to it. And I would definitely recommend doing an outdoor system where this is on the outside of the house at that window well, because then the sump pump, obviously, it'll pump the water up to a pipe, and then you can run a pipe out and get that 10, 20 feet away somewhere in the yard. And you don't need as much fall to make that work because you're starting at the top of the grade and working your way down. So almost any amount of fall in a yard will work when you have a sump pump.
So you're saying to put the sump pump outside of the condominium?
Yes. Yep.
And then would the pipe be on top of the ground at that point?
It would basically come out to the top of the ground or kind of right at the top of the ground, and then you would run it underground. So it might come up to about 4 inches below the ground and then just turn and go underground and kind of run out to a part of the yard that can disperse that water. What I definitely wouldn't recommend doing is bringing that water into the home to get it back outside of the home, because that's just introducing other possible issues. And a lot of foundation companies might say, yeah, we'll put a hole in the wall, we'll put a pipe to the inside, we'll get it to an inside sump pump, and then we'll pump it back out. And to me, I would handle this every time from the outside of the home, just to keep the home safe, get the water away, and don't invite any of that water to the inside of the home, because that could just cause other problems down the road.
And so from the outside looking at it, is the sump pump all covered in like rock and everything? Because the condominium complex will maybe have an issue if I have a sump pump.
Yeah, it would be down in the window well, and it would have a pit with a lid so you wouldn't see it from the ground. You wouldn't see it from just anywhere. It'd be down inside your window well.
Inside the window well.
Yep, okay. And it may even, they may recommend replacing the window well to make all this work and fit and not have an issue down the road. So Stacy, I got to get into a hard break here, but hopefully that kind of guides you in the right direction. And I would say,
what kind of company would that be that I would call on that?
Like a foundation drainage company.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, hey, no problem. We'll be right back after this. 314-436-7900 is where you find me today. We got an hour left.